You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Take one.
Knock, knock.
Who dares?
Receiving a Dana, and we can't believe you found a fucking podcast.
Not podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning. We're Steven and Dana, and we're in the room.
I'm having, like, seizures over here.
You're so dumb.
Hey, Grom.
Hey, boy. You actually don't look like a boy right now. You have a big ol' wig on.
You look like,
So do I.
The bus and truck something rotten.
Yeah.
With a chola lip.
Present and accounted for. Did you see it?
Something rotten?
Yeah.
I saw The Road Company with...
The Road Company,
Nick Rochette Burrows.
That's right.
And Autumn...
I saw
Norman, Adam Norman. I almost called her by her maiden name.
Mm. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was silly. It was silly. So niche.
Great. Now that that's out of the way.
Something Niche, the musical. What did you get up to since we spoke to Haley Pachun?
Well, that night, I went to the Will and Grace premiere. We were the first audience to see it. And it was great with the cast and the creators. It was fantastic.
Did you get any swag?
I'm so jazzed. Garlic jazzed. I did get swag. I got a winter hat, as did the entire audience. And it was all the goosebumpy feels.
Get it.
Yeah.
What else did we do
really
this week?
I'm enjoying it.
We went to Barry Manilow this week.
We did.
We saw him in concert at the Prudence set.
We had our own private suite, and it was fantastic.
I had a 5-piece tender with fries.
Uh-huh. This wig is so hot that I'm wearing right now. I can't even think.
What else did we
do? Wait, that's not all I had to say about Barry fucking Manilow. We saw Barry Manilow.
I know, but
that's a huge deal.
You seem to have moved on.
Oh, no. My brain is hot.
God, Lemon. It was incredible.
It was incredible.
It was romantic.
I was
lit
like I was at a pitbull concert.
You were sweating.
I was sweaty. Copacabana, Mandy.
Oh,
he did a duet with himself from the 70s.
I write the songs.
He does.
Weekend in New England.
It was beautiful.
That's the one that got me.
I love how he sings when he's hitting that high note, like a sustained high note. He's 74, and
on
he
an
does
e-vowel.
He d- like eh, like his teeth are legit touching.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing.
Yeah, he's got to bite it. Got to bite your way through it.
What else did we do? We went out on the town.
Oh my god! Yeah, we left our house.
We
after
went out
9
in public
PM. After 9 a.m. Had a late dinner.
I have to tell you, I did not want to do it.
Yeah, I know.
I was so
You tried to talk
tired.
Me out of it a couple of times.
We left, and I was 2 steps out of your apartment. I was just like, well, we've done this.
Yeah.
We can go back inside, right?
Yeah.
But then we had the best night ever.
Oh, it was so fun. It was really fun.
We started with watching The Mirror Has Two Faces, and so that put me in a crunchy...
And then the whole night... The last bar we were at, the DJ was wearing a hat that said Two-Face on it.
There were just signs all around.
It was the perfect bite.
It was the perfect bite.
It was the perfect night.
Speaking of the perfect bite.
And the perfect night.
We're here with...
Gladys Knight.
Kevin Thomas Garcia.
Okay, so like the same thing.
Yeah.
Hi.
Kevin.
What's up?
Before I ask you anything, what was your first impression of each of us?
But enough about me, let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
you're both fucking crazy. But like a good crazy.
No, we're getting into it.
Well, yeah. We met each other not 9 years ago?
Yes, I was on tour, wasn't I?
You were photographing something for Broadway in South Africa.
Yes, okay.
Box?
Got it, yep.
Question mark?
Oh, that place. Yeah, didn't some, like, drag performer pull a dildo out of her ass that was a tampon?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, we were all literally, and Brooke Shields was there.
Yeah, Brooke Shields rode in on her motorcycle.
Yeah, and she was like, oh. So, yeah, that was my experience at the box.
Wow, someone shocked Brooke Shields?
Someone shocked the entire, like, world.
She was a child in Hollywood.
Somebody shocked the East Village.
Yeah, but it was like a man.
Get it.
A tramp. I'm not sure which the pronouns would be appropriate for that one, okay. But it was an obvious man with breast implants, a penis, and a penis. Yeah. And literally pulled out a dildo. But he had performed the entire number.
Like,
and then at the end of the number, pulled a giant 12-inch dildo painted as a tampon out of his butt towards the audience.
I don't care what anyone says. I'm leaving that story in.
Yeah, please, like... Yeah, I mean,
it was,
that's the box. Welcome to New York Theater, right? Avant-garde. I didn't really
feel. And here we are, like, trying to raise a couple of dollars to go teach arts education and empowerment in South Africa.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get, well, you know, all sorts of people involved.
Yeah.
I have those pictures on my computer right now. I could probably pull up a picture of the dildo somewhere.
Oh, my God.
We'll put it on our Instagram.
Yep.
I guidelines. Don't actually think we can.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's like no way.
I mean, just jokes.
There's no clearing. There's no clothing on. It's a lot.
We could put emojis.
You really need a lot of emojis.
It was,
yeah, but we'll see. You know,
great.
So
that was your first impression of Stephen.
Yeah, it was
bright and shiny Stephen.
Tampon. I was probably the one to like make sure you got your thank you note.
Probably.
Running around like, have you seen Kevin the photographer? I have a thank you card for him.
Ariana Grande was
That was the other benefit. That was the gala.
But that was when she was
must
like
have been
she was
11.
13.
Yeah,
it was right after 13. So
and we all sang backup for her.
Yeah,
I have pictures of that somewhere.
Who would have thought? That's pretty amazing.
Because she starred in 13 the musicale.
She was featured.
Yeah,
not starred.
Whatever. But she semantics.
Semantics, supporting
you're
actress
in,
a
you're starring in it.
It worked out for her. She's going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah. She's nailing it.
I hope. Yes, I imagine.
She's nailing it.
Yeah. I want to take the ponytail down, though. I do. And now that, you know, I do hair, I'll be like, come on, girl.
Yeah, you just want to get your hands on it.
Well, let's just give the follicles a rest. Like, they're pulled
tight. Yeah, that's
going to
hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if she will.
Yeah.
Which of these wigs would she look best in?
The Christina Aguilera Lady Marmalade wig. Yes.
Which
is the one I'm wearing at present.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great on you.
Thank you so much.
I know, it's a warm wig. There's no...
It's so warm.
It's a material not found in nature, these wigs.
Same.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and let's also talk about the fact that you're dressed as a pilgrim.
I am. I'm in a... God, everything's so hot here.
And why?
Hands.
And I'm wearing...
I'm in a burlap sack.
I'm wearing the Francesca house dress from Bridges of Madison County.
I'm in my at-home uniform in a Victorian wig. First impression of Dana.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt like I knew you forever.
Whoa.
It's fucking deep.
That's deep. Because you guys met the night of the photo shoot for this podcast.
Is that the first time?
Yeah. I walked in and I was so nervous.
Do you get naked for any old man? I'm kidding.
This is Kevin Thomas Garcia of our credits. A shout out to Kevin Thomas Garcia.
Yes, that's me.
That's the photographer. One in the same.
The photographer side of me.
I met you as a photographer, but before we met, you were an actor under the name Kevin Ashling.
Well, that was a 2006.
That was a temporary alias.
Yes, that
temporary
my
profile
agents,
pic.
Because, you know, I'm Kevin Thomas Garcia. That's my birth name.
Sure.
But I like to say Kevin Thomas Garcia, which is hysterical because Thomas comes from my Irish grandparents, so it's not that. It's like it's literally a Kevin Thomas Garcia.
Uh-huh. Garcia.
And then my grandfather is from Madrid, Spain, but I never met him. And so, yeah. He ran out of my dad. And so, yeah. I'm half Spanish and I think Dutch and probably a few more things.
Yeah, no, you're hot.
I want to do an Ancestry.com moment.
I'm curious. I'm sure I got, you know, all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to see what's running through these veins.
Yeah, I would do it.
23andMe.
Maybe we can get like a package deal. Yeah. Six kits and save 20%.
Yeah. Well, yeah, where did we leave off? Your
so, birthday. Okay, you're from New Jersey. You're from Cape May.
Sort of. I'm a military brat, so I'm from everywhere. So I was born in New Orleans in 1980, January 9th. I know that I don't look like I'm 37. I don't. I just look maybe 29.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's totally... I'll
look
take 30.
Young 30, yeah.
I'll take 34. Not mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
So I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. And then... We lived in... Then we moved to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Oh, but can I tell you my parents how they got engaged?
Yeah.
Okay, so they dated for 2 years, and then they didn't speak for 3 at all. Not a word. Didn't say a word to each other. And then my dad called my mom the night before he was transferred to Puerto Rico, and he asked her to marry her on the phone after not seeing her for 3 years. And she said yes. And now they've been married 38 years.
Do you have any other siblings?
I have a little sister named Katie, which, so I was born in New Orleans, and then we went to Puerto Rico, and then that's where my sister was born.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then we were in, then when 1983, we moved to St. Louis, where a lot of our extended family lives. So I spent the 80s in St. Louis. And then
what a dream.
In 92, when I was 12, after sixth
Fantasy
grade, I moved
Island.
To Cape May, New Jersey, which is the southern tip of New Jersey.
I've
exit
been there.
Zero. It's gorgeous. But so yeah. I grew up there. And I grew up in the military base. My dad's in the Coast Guard for 30-something years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cape May is wonderful. It's much more Republican than I remember it being. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then, yeah. Moved to New York at 18.
Was on tour by an actor.
As an actor, yeah. I went to AMDA for 2 months and dropped out, like...
Were you in Amy Schumer's class at AMDA?
No. We were around the same time.
Got it.
Like, right around the same time. And then, like, I think Jason Mraz was 2 years before me. Like, there's a lot of people who pop through there. But
sure.
I did not last 2 months. And then I dropped out, and I was on tour by 19. And I stayed on tour pretty
with?
Much till I... Oh. So I left New York... To do the Grease tour.
The Grease tour. I was going to say West Side Story.
Which is, Kevin Smith Kirkwood was on that tour.
Yeah.
And then he left that tour when I joined to do Godspell with Natalie. So, yeah. And then, so I did that for a year. Came back and I did the Footloose National Tour for a year. Came back and then I did West Side Story in Europe for 2. And so we did like Denmark, Switzerland, Germany.
Performing.
Yeah, yeah.
Performing.
I was okay. A dancer. I dance better than the singers, and I sing better than the dancers, but
it
doesn't get me.
Get it, Cassie.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's your Housewives tagline.
Yeah, it's like.
Housewives the musical.
Oh, that, yeah, would be my tagline.
Yeah.
That would be my tagline. Well, it's one of the things, I'm a jack of all trades master. No, I was like, I was good, but I wasn't like, I wasn't going to star in a musical anytime soon. And so, wait. So, West Side Story for 2 years, and then I moved to L.A. I moved my base from out to L.A. And 3 weeks after I moved to L.A., I got Mamma Mia. Because everyone joked. They're like, yeah, you're going to move to L.A., and then you're going to get a Broadway show. And that's exactly what happened. And then I stayed on tour for 6 years with that.
Wow.
I came off off and on for a year, but majority from, like, 2004 to 2010, I was on tour. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then I was like, oh, shit, I got to retire someday. So
my question is, so you didn't really go to school. Had you trained?
Yeah, I mean, I was
a
dancer.
Like,
I was a dancer growing up, and I did all the musicals and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I've always been kind of blessed with the ability to do kind of anything.
Yeah,
because
you hear just people like
you really, are
really
just the best
struggling, like trying to book any fucking.
Yeah, I mean, I was really blessed. Like, I didn't, and I use blessed. I'm not a very religious person, so I don't think of it that way. But like, as far as opportunities being there, I had them all, and mm-hmm. it was very easy to work. Yeah. I mean, I was like chorus boy, swing. Understudies.
You got to see the world.
Yeah, my favorite was we did Honolulu for 9 weeks. Full per diem, full production contract.
All the spam you could eat.
Don't joke. I will eat the shit out of some spam. I love me some spam. Spam masubi? Okay. Have you had that? It's spam sushi.
No.
Yeah, they do the sweet sticky rice, and then they grill Spam till it's caramelized, put it on top, and then wrap it in seaweed.
That actually sounds really good. Put a little soy sauce on
top. Kevin's palate, you said it really well earlier.
The it's whole, like my mom, giving, what my mom said?
Yeah, giving a kid $100 in the supermarket and saying, go feed yourself.
Specifically a nine-year-old boy. Yeah.
I mean, nothing's been more true.
Yeah, I mean, I can eat the shit out of some bagel bites. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll try to be, like, bougie, and I'll put, like, feta cheese on.
I mean, bougie feta cheese.
I'll be like, let me sprinkle some shit on this. So I don't feel so bad.
Yes.
But, yeah, but I tried.
You do a mean zucchini bake?
Yeah, but that's at least, well, and I guess the way I make it.
It's zucchini with 4 inches of cheese on top.
Okay, so don't fucking judge my cheese. I have made it better before. Do you want to hear another version of that?
Yeah.
So you take flour.
Is this Kevin's Recipe Corner?
Yeah, I mean, I will give you a recipe. I went through a pie phase the past month.
Kevin Thomas Cocina.
Cocina?
A kitchen, right?
Oh, I don't know.
We're cutting that. Cocina is a kitchen.
I'm like the least Spanish boy you're going to meet.
Cocina's kitchen. I'll take it from me.
Oh, whoops.
I have to fart.
No, don't.
Not in his bed.
You can't. It's not going to penetrate this dress I have a feeling, I have
like,
on.
My face is pretty close to your butt right now, so I'm like, that's a little too close for farting. But anyway, great. Let me tell you about
zucchinis.
This, like, but, this, how you pan fry it. So you put, like, actual, you do, like, an inch of oil, actual oil, in, like, a deep pan. But the flour judge you do is you do flour, cayenne pepper in the flour, but a lot of cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going? So you do that.
100%.
And then you do the egg wash. You do, like, egg there, and you whisk in Tabasco into the egg wash. And I would do the zucchini like this, but you do, like, zucchini fries, dip it in, and dip it. So you're getting double the spice. And put that fucker right. You could also do some panko crumbs if you'd like, but I, you know, who needs that?
Do not panko. You do,
you
do not
I have so many panko crumbs.
I actually do.
In my cocina.
Is that your drag name?
Panko crumbs.
In your cocina? So many panko crumbs.
Like cucina.
But that's also a really good fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Titus gave me his fried chicken recipe, and the secret is 1 packet of taco seasoning.
That's not my... That would not be my flavor.
Got it.
Because for my fried chicken, I'm very specific. Popeyes.
We had Popeyes.
I know.
Earlier.
I saw your tweet or something. Yeah.
We don't tweet.
So you text back and forth. My bad.
Yeah.
I only tweet now to yell at the president.
Yeah, you're really good at social media. Like, your Facebook is an education.
I try.
There are some people like that who, like, that's where I get my news, is what they retweet and put on their Facebook.
But always look at the source regardless, because nothing is worse than reblogging bullshit, which is
get your ass handed to you.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, but my Twitter is solely for harassing our president.
Great. Have you been blocked yet?
No. And I've said...
Bummer.
I've said a lot. But, you know, in this day and age with how miserable it is right now, because it's pretty fucking bad.
I mean,
there's no way around that. Yeah, I feel like... Grim. He's such a crazy, old, nasty... Like, we all know guys like this. Crazy, nasty, old, entitled white men.
But they're not the president.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then one of them got to be president completely by accident. And the whole world's laughing at us. But my reason for tweeting about it is because that fucker's crazy enough. Because you know he's up late at night just scrolling through Twitter, seeing who's trolling him. Yeah. And, like... I feel like that's...
He has access to his Twitter account.
Yeah, I just feel like if I'm going to get... Maybe he will see my tweet being like, oh my God, you're awful! Or Trump trash. Like, I have all these stupid hashtags I use.
Just
Trump trash
case.
Is my favorite.
Trump trash.
Yeah, Trump trash. Like, and, you know, I listen to so many podcasts now that are all like...
I can't do it. It's too much. Like, all the news. Well, I can't also listen to podcasts, though.
The only podcast
listen to intheroompod at gmail.com.
Yeah, listen to this one, of course. But can I say another podcast?
Yeah.
Pod Save America.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If you're going to do any single political podcast, do Pod Save America. There's another actually good one. Well, actually, that whole Crooked Media family. It's like Pod Save America. It's Pod Save the World. and Pod Save the People. Pod Save the People and Pod Save the World are
Pod Save the
more like bigger, like Pod Save the People deals with like specifically ethnic groups problems and stuff like that. And then, well, not just that, but it's more micro. And then Pod Save the World is more macro, like everything. But Pod Save America is like right up. And then Love It or Leave It, which is the live version of it. So they usually have a panel of three people in front of a live audience.
I didn't know.
It's John Lovett,
one.
Who's the producer at Crooked Media. Uh-huh. And then, like, they had Sarah Silverman and two other people. They'll have, like, a political course and a star. And it's hysterical. And it's also nice because you hear people
so
you're like.
So listen to that, I think, the live panel.
But it's nice also because you, like, I'm not going crazy right now. And, like, I was talking to my therapist the other day and I was like, is everyone talking about this all the time? He's like, yep. I was like, is everyone,
therapists are reaping
rewards.
Like,
does everyone feel the same way? Like, what's your experience? And he's like,
probably loving it.
Every single person I talk to feels the same way. None of this is normal.
Well, it has so many layers. It's like, then what do you do?
Well, like,
Thanksgiving is coming
that?
Up. Like,
yeah.
How do you attend Thanksgiving with people who
I
are
don't, I,
so vastly...
I took the path.
Well, we had to last year, and it was minutes after.
It was last year.
But he,
but he also
different.
Hasn't done all this stuff.
Yeah.
I am so lucky to come from, like, the most liberal family ever. Like, my parents had to be liberal, because my sister's a lesbian, too. So, like, I'm gay.
Ew!
I'm gay.
So am I. Hi!
So,
I'm
like,
waving to everyone.
Win a date with Dana.
So I'm gay, and then my sister's a lesbian, and my sister was the one who outed me. My coming out
story. How did that happen?
Oh, God, it's awful.
Oh, please tell me your coming out
tell
story.
Us, yeah, tell really us a snippet.
Okay, a snippet.
A highlight.
That's a good one. So I had, long story short, I got mono at the end of my junior year.
Of and high school or college?
High school.
You didn't go to college, sorry.
High school. So this is 1997. Keep in mind the internet had just started, like, being, like, the internet. Like, we had chat rooms and shit like that. So, So the junior year is about the time I started, like, experimenting with guys, like, little stuff. I met some guy on the side of the road. He was, like, the music teacher at the Christian Academy.
Was he Harold Hill?
Aren't they all?
No, but he was just, like, I remember, and he was not attractive at all. But, like, when you're that age, you're just like, I need to touch something.
Yeah.
And so.
He'll do.
I'm so awful. I was 17. And he had, like, this weird eyelash thing where, like, four eyelashes came out of one hole, and it was like, ooh.
What?
You know, it's like one of those things. Like
fake eyelashes?
God,
yeah, and then
that.
You just, you're like, oh, God, I'm always going to remember that. And it's disgusting. And, oh, ew. Anyway.
If you're listening, tweet us. In the room
if
pod.
If you also suffer from this ailment, I'd love to see it.
Oh, God. And then, so my sister, so while I had mono, I had an online boyfriend. His name, Gregoire. His AOL screen name was like Gregoire, which is going
all right,
away.
Sidebar, I know. I wanted to say it earlier, but I wanted you to finish your story. Everybody's first screen name, go.
RipCurl17.
Hi, Poodle84.
NYC fan for me.
Oh, God. RipCurl17, though, that's the surfing brand in my age. RipCurl17. I wonder if that even exists anymore. I wonder if we, like, Google our screen names, if, like, our history will come up.
Oh, interesting.
So I had an online boyfriend. We had corresponded with letters and stuff. But we were, like, boyfriends. Like, his mom, I would call his house every night. And anyway, so I had all these letters that we had sent back and forth to me. And, like, my sister found them, apparently. So the first day of my senior year of high school, I'm literally standing in my closet because I had the walk-in closet. And my sister comes in and she's like, Kevin, we know. And I was like, know what?
It's so dramatic.
And she's like, you can come out of the closet. Now, mind you, I'm standing in the closet, and I give you a full Annette Bening American Beauty meltdown.
No.
I grab all my clothes. I collapse on the floor.
No.
And my parents, we talked about it for a minute. They were like, well, we just don't know what to do. And we called a priest. And I do remember saying this to my mom. I was like, Mom, we're not even religious. Why would you call a priest? And so then we didn't really talk about it. And then,
was that a secret you were holding on to for dear life? Like, if anyone finds out, I'm gonna...
Of course. And I think it's different now, because 97 was still a much different time than it is now.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago. You know. Yeah, there was a lot of things still around and stuff like that. And then I went and moved to AMDA, and then finally had a breakdown on the phone with my parents, and I was like, this is who I am! You must accept it, or, like, I don't know what to do. And then they were like, okay.
Great. Okay, we're done here.
Yeah. And then my sister came out while I was, this is awful, I was in Germany, and she was at my cousin, our last cousin's wedding, and she brought her girlfriend there because my sister came out. Hey, my sister went to Skidmore University and majored in women's studies and anthropology. So no. I don't know how anyone would not. I mean, like, that's, she majored in being a lesbian. I tell her this all the time. I'm like,
she changed her major to Joan.
Yeah. And then her master's was social work and women's studies.
Wow.
Yeah. And she ran a Planned Parenthood. So, like, there's,
you
like,
did
we
too,
knew.
Kind of.
That was my major, social work and women's studies.
Yeah. It does not surprise me.
100%.
Yeah. But so she brought her girlfriend to the wedding. And so I call, because I know they're at the wedding, and I'm in Germany. I think it was in Berlin or something. And I call, and my mom answers the phone, and I was like, hey, Mom, how are you? She goes, fine. I was like, oh. Now, keep in mind, I'm 6,000 miles away from St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah. I am in Berlin, Germany. I was like, Mom, how are you? I'm fine. Uh-huh. How's the wedding? Good. I was like, is Katie still there? She goes, no. I was like, why? And she goes, you know. I was like, wait, no, she said, she's like, is Katie there? And I was, she said, no. I was like, where'd she go? She's like, she left with Mary. And I was like, who's Mary? And
who, my Mary?
Mom, yeah, I said, who's Mary? And my mom literally said, 6,000 miles away, you know who Mary is.
And did you?
Yeah, me. My sister came out to me like, you know, 6 weeks before. But she was dating this woman who looked like me plus 100 pounds, shaved head and all. And her name was Mary. And she had a daughter named Little Mary.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah. No.
And I believe
look
she,
at
just,
Stephen
she
and
drove
his
like a Subaru Forester and like the whole nine yards.
No.
Yeah. But then my sister came out swinging, so she did.
Mary and Little Mary.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that child abuse? Like, that's awful.
Is there another child out there named Bloody Mary?
Can we backtrack just a skosh?
Sure.
What happened after your performance days?
Oh, so while I was on tour with Mamma Mia, I bought a camera in downtown Chicago. I walked into any old store, picked one up, and
did you walk into a store and ask for a camera in that voice?
Yeah, I did. Totally. I was like,
y'all better.
Hey, I'm looking for a camera. See,
give me a camera, and I don't want to wind it. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. No, they gave me a Canon Rebel SLR.
Yeah,
it was like $400, and I remember being like, sure. Oh my god, that's so expensive. And now, like, my last
meanwhile,
camera,
you're, like, sitting on 6 years of Mamma Mia tour money.
Well, no, but, like, I was never a... I wasn't a hardcore saver. Some of those kids came off and were like, let's buy 8 houses. And I was like, well, that was not my story. I had a lot of fun on tour.
You had to eat your way through America.
Okay, they're calling me fatty.
No, but I'm...
Wow.
I'm bringing it back
was more,
to
I drank
palate.
I drank my way around this country, and I love a good stripper. So I put a few boys through college in Montreal.
And and probably their kids now too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Atlanta has a strip club called Swingin' Richards, which
Swingin' Richards,
the biological name.
Oh my god, me and there was a bunch of us who would always go, but me and my company manager, I won't say his name just because I don't want to embarrass him.
Okay, fucking Google it.
It's more if he listens, I'll be like, oh shit. So we were at Swingin' Richards, and we were both kind of like. Outside, like, there's an outside runway where the dancers come out and trying to get you to do private dances. And so, I'm gonna go back and get a dance. And I go back to get a dance, and in the back room was one of the Sean Cody boys. But, like, he's like a really, oh, you know
what does that mean?
Sean Cody is a porn site that all of your gay listeners will know. We should educate you in that later.
Okay, great.
Steven's very
I don't know that you've ever seen gay porn.
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, we can fix that.
By choice. It's not,
not
a
at
thing
all.
I would order off the menu.
Oh, you're a lesbian, duh.
Well, yeah, but still, I could do it for fun on my own.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we saw the porn star there.
And I could go to the Gazillion Bubble Show on my own. Not gonna do it.
Good point. And so I run out and get my company manager, and I bring him. I'm like, come here, this guy from Sean Cody. He's like, no, leave me alone. I'm going to get a lap dance here. I was like, Sean, get the fuck up. And I dragged him in the champagne room, and he saw that Sean Cody guy. And he was like, No way.
I'll be your private dancer.
Yeah. And so then two Sean Cody boys gave us like a dual lap dance and then like would smack each other in the face with their dicks. Yeah. Oh, that's Swingin' Richards.
It's still in business?
So yeah. It's, I think, one of the oldest. But it turns out a lot of Sean Cody models work at Swingin' Richards.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then
Mamma Mia was your last tour.
Yeah.
And then
you
bought a camera. You bought a Cheryl Lee Ralph camera.
I did. I bought a Cheryl Lee
Ralph. And you're like, I'm done.
Well, not exactly. So like I started taking a lot of photos on the road and I was getting really good at headshots and I was like, oh, everyone brings these headshots and spends so much money on them and they're like awful. I can fix that. And so that's kind of how I got into headshots. And then when Mamma Mia was going to tear down to a smaller paycheck, which I was like, I'm good. Peace out. Our union sold us down the river. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to start taking photos. So I switched to being a photographer full time. It wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, but...
How so?
I kind of assume people just like...
Choose you.
Yeah, like everybody. But there's a million photographers. But this is also like right before...
You're my default.
What?
You're my default. Nobody gets asked to do anything with a camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it took me a while to get there. Yeah. And then it just worked out. I started working with a bunch of agencies, and I started working for Broadway World immediately, so I became, like, known in the theater world as, like, a theater photographer. And
what do you mean, like what kind of photos?
Well, for Broadway World, I was, like, a press photographer, so I would do, like, walk seven repeats and other random jobs. Like, I shot the promo stills for Edwin Drood. Did you see him?
Yeah. Did.
So when you walked in the lobby and you saw everyone dressed up as different characters, like Cheetah was like Marie Antoinette, Jesse Mueller was a geisha. So like everyone had really cool stuff. So I did all those photos.
That's great.
I still have a picture of me and Cheetah. I was dressed as Marie Antoinette.
Come on.
You can't beat that.
I remember that photo.
Yeah. So I got to do a lot of cool stuff. And and then I started doing
He did Tony Roberts' book cover.
In my fucking bedroom. Right. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna do it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was cool with it. It's a great photo.
Yeah, but still, like, you're like, Tony Robbins. Right there. Well, I did.
You were in your studio.
I did quite a few celebrities in my bedroom.
You did Alan Cumming.
I did. I did his book headshot and all the press photos he used for Cabaret. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And oh, fierce.
Also, that was like the most money made off of one photo. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's why
those are kind of iconic.
Well, that's why you shoot celebs a lot of times for free. Because what might be like a free 4 hours of your life, anytime that photo is used, that photo has to be licensed from me. Mm.
Do you have an agent for all of that? Or
don't. Because I started like working for Next Magazine. I started getting a lot of like, I won't say known because that sounds asshole-y, but like, no, a lot of people knew my work. And I got offered a campaign with Rogaine and Men's Health through this massive media agency. And that was kind of where I made the decision after that. I did like a year with them. So we followed these five guys for a year around as they used Rogaine. And then it was actually before Instagram, too. It was before everything like really took off.
Mm-hmm.
So these ads would be like blurbs in Facebook or ads in like Out and GQ and like Men's Health. Like those ads were everywhere. But so I did that for a year and I kind of realized I was like, oh, I don't want to be this kind of photographer. And it had nothing to do with like the advertising. It's just I don't like working at that stress level. I don't
feel
that way. Like our first shoot with everyone, it was, you know, it was five guys and it was, who's that guy? He's a, like, news anchor. And he's married to some... I don't know. He looks like a Ken doll. But, I mean, very attractive. But he's, like, a celebrity. His wife's on E! News or something like that.
Juliana Rancic.
Bill Rancic, yes. Her husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa! Good for you!
Right out of your butt. You got it. And, yeah, so... Wow. Bill Rancic, six guys, these five live coaches, and about 100 people on set... about 100 people on set, and it was just pressure because I was the photographer. Like literally my job was to show up and push the button.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't have to do much setup because there were so many other people involved. And I was like, I don't like shooting like this.
So many things to coordinate.
Well, it's not even at that level. It's weird because you don't necessarily have to coordinate, because it's different than like what we do for theater and stuff. It's at the level, if they, you know, if a client comes in, they want to see that that much money is being spent on them. So everyone's become sort of like a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
I got a production producer who took care of all the logistics and what we would need and blah, 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 blah. Like, I would come in, I would go, yes, great, you all look amazing, great, awful. Let's take your head over this way. And I would hit that button on this $60,000 camera, and that file would go right into a computer monitor up there. 100 people are looking at directly behind me. And, like, that level of pressure,
yeah,
I'm not for it.
Yeah.
That level of paycheck.
Get into it.
Yes. Like, yes. I would have to do 5 of those a year, and I would not have to work anymore. No. Period. And that's, like, comfortably.
Come on. Come on!
It's crazy.
Yeah, when I got my first check, I was like,
Dinner on me.
Yeah, I saved it. I don't know where I put it.
So how did you get into the wig game?
Yeah, so right now you work at Kinky Boots.
I work at Das Boots.
Das Boots.
Yes.
I remember when you started hair school. Yeah, you always had wigs in your house, and you always
I was a theater kid, so I always had wigs. When I was 14, I thought I was going to go to North Carolina School of Arts to do their wig and makeup program. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of catch-22. I was like, yeah. And I went the acting route. And, you know, I would do wigs at summer stocks and stuff like that. But I also, like, kind of forgot that it was a job.
Well, again, you're good at everything.
Yeah.
You're jack, like, of all trades still, but now you're, like, actually good at shit.
Yeah.
Master of...
Many now?
Many.
I guess, yeah.
So you think
I'm done changing careers now. Like, I'm good.
But what about the photography? Was that, like, your main gig for a while, and then you thought...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get into wigs.
The problem is, a freelancer is everything's 1099. So that year I did the Rogaine Men's Health stuff. At the end of the year, I got smacked with a $25,000 tax bill, which is my fault. I didn't plan as well as I could have, but I also wasn't expecting that much. So it's like, unfortunately, when you make a lot of money, even if you write off a lot, you still get screwed. And, you know, the self-employed tax is, like, I want to say it's something like 40%. Like, it's a high, high tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened with me is I was like, I need an option. I don't want to bartend. I was bartending at the time, too. I was like, I need an option that's going to let me retire someday. And so I remember that when I was on Mamma Mia, I was always in the hair room, that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
I called my friend Josh Marquette, who designed Book of Mormon and Something Rotten and a bunch of shows. And I was like, okay, how do I do this? What do I do? And he was like, go to beauty school, get your license, and, you know, you'll be fine.
And how long was that?
Beauty school took 7 months, but I started swinging on Phantom and Wicked and Kinky Boots before I started school. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of was like, I literally said, I was like, I want to do this. And then I was doing it. So I didn't...
Because hair can, like, hire their own subs.
Yeah.
Like musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
And not, like, performers.
Although
this is education.
I did work my ass off a lot. I mean, I also had the benefit of I already knew everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know, through being a photographer and a press photographer, I literally knew every single person.
Yeah.
Like, when I was putting Kelly O'Hara's wig on, she was like, why do I know you? And I was like, so I take your picture a lot. And, you know, it sounds creepy at first. And then,
yeah.
I had another experience like that. I was shooting Douglas Carter Bean's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Because Douglas Carter Bean's sister was my choir director growing up.
Hilarious.
So I ended up shooting his wedding. And Cynthia Nixon was the officiant. And so she comes up to me and she goes, oh, she gives me a hug. She's like, it's so good to see you. And in my head, I'm going, oh, you have no idea why we know each other. And it's because I've taken her photo 100 times.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the interesting part about now what I do. Because people are like, I fucking know you. And I'm like, yeah, I do.
You're it's like, fine. I literally do everything on Broadway.
Yeah. Do you know Melissa D. Arabian?
No.
She was on she was a Food Network star. She still is. She's got a couple shows on there. But her girls, they love Kinky Boots, so they've seen it a few times. And I'll take them backstage anytime I can. Like, the last, when Annie was still on, I brought her and her daughter backstage to meet the dog.
Yes. Yes.
And just, like, you know, stuff like that. I was wasted that night. But, like, I was like, sure, I'll take it back to Annie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, wait, lost my train of thought. Where was I?
We were talking about, like, you went to hair school.
Oh, yeah, I went to hair school.
And subbing on shows, and you knew people, and you go to hair school.
Hair school is a cut hair, like, to cut hair and do wigs?
Frenchie and Grease.
All the same thing?
All the same thing. You don't, wigs are not really part of beauty school. I was just having to do
it. But it's learning how to, like, cut
and
style. Like,
roller sets and colors and contrast. Like, you go to...
You dyed my hair.
I did. I dyed it, like, dark blue.
Yeah.
Is that that black blue, you know?
Yeah, A2.
Yeah, you have a lot more gray than... expecting.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
I'm 300 years old and still a stud.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. You also still have that Victorian wig on.
Yeah.
I was having a hot flush. I had to take mine off.
Yeah, me too.
It's and hot. And then when did Kinky Boots become full-time?
Last summer I took over full-time. Yeah. And I have a couple irons in the fire for new stuff, but... You know.
How many people are in your department? Like, what's the...
We have 3 hair people and 1 makeup artist.
3
who helps
hair
us,
people.
Too. Yeah.
It and are you there more. For the whole show? You're there before?
Yeah. On any show that has wigs, the hair person will be there the entire show. Because actors are not allowed to take their wigs on and off.
They don't clean up after their own goddamn selves, remember?
Yeah. They're I just need to... interject here and say to our listeners, sometimes I ask questions that I know the answer to, but sometimes my mom doesn't know.
Hey, Sue.
The answer. And so I ask questions for people like Sue, who might not know.
Hey, Sue.
That the wig person stays throughout the entire show.
We have to. These are handmade human hair pieces, honey.
They're delicate. And how much do the wigs cost generally?
A human... Like... A hand-tied human hair full wig would be probably about
$3,000. $3,000,
folks? Yeah.
Dollars?
I mean, you could probably get one for, like, $1,600. But obviously, the more expensive they are, the more, like... The wig that Juliana Margulies wears on The Good Wife...
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening.
She gets 2 a year, I believe. Something like that. Don't quote me on that one. But they always save the wigs because then they go back for flashbacks. But that wig that she wears is $10,000.
Yikes.
What's the most expensive wig you've ever handled yourself?
Oh, like...
At Wicked?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Wicked's wigs aren't any more expensive than anyone else. I mean, probably one of our... One of the wigs in Kinky Boots is an African-American man's short hair, gray. Mm-hmm. And that's about $3,500.
Wow.
So, yeah. And it's on stage for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
in the dark.
Right.
Do you do TV work?
I have. I prefer theater, but...
Why?
I just like I'm a theater kid. I wasn't raised on a film set. I was raised on the boards.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the boards with Stephen and Dana.
Yeah.
Off
that's
the
actually
boards.
Really good.
Yeah.
We're changing our title.
On the boards, I like it.
Fallen off the boards.
Yeah. I'm a child of the theater.
Honey.
Well, that's what I realized eventually. It's like, I'm going to be happy...
In a theater.
In a theater. Regardless of what I'm doing. Like, I probably could be equally as happy. I mean, I really like playing with wigs. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, I could do stage management and stuff.
We
like
played
that.
With wigs for about an hour before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
And
I just came from doing 2 shows, so.
Yeah.
Hey, Saturday night.
Yeah. We also have costumes on.
So there's this awesome company. I don't know if it's a company. It's a charity. TDF? Is that a charity?
An theater? Organization.
Theater Development Fund.
Theater Development Fund. And they have a costume warehouse that twice a year they have, like, a sale. And you get on the list. And I don't know how you can, but you can try TDF's website.
TDF.org.
Yeah. And you can buy one of 2 sizes of bags. You can buy a $50 bag. You can buy multiple. But there's a $50 bag, which is like the old lady Homa's bag.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, like, plasticky ones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crunchy bag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, like, a regular shopping bag. For $20. And then they release you into the warehouse on the racks they've pulled, and you can get
Is it like the Barney sale? Are there people going crazy?
They're not as crazy, but they're like on a mission because there's a lot of costume supervisors, mm-hmm. Yeah, people like that.
Yeah, it's professionals. Yeah. Everyone's there for a reason, not just a shop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you just stuff it all in the back. That's how I have this Sugar Plum Fairy costume. It's laying on my floor right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a...
I feel like it's too precious to be on your floor.
As Stephen called it, his Shelley Duvall Fairy Tale Theater dress.
Yeah.
Which, do you remember that show? Oh,
it was my favorite
thing. I've seen every single one.
Do they have them on DVD or is it like VHS?
Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall.
I have them all on VHS that we would rent them from the video store.
Oh.
And
tape them?
Yeah, my mom would dupe them.
That's funny.
Denise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fairy Tale Theater, Are You Afraid of the Dark on SNCC?
Yep, with the match.
Yep. That scared the crap out of me. That show was scary. As a 12-year-old. Do you remember Roundhouse on SNCC?
No.
Oh, my God. It was like an SNL musical theater sketch comedy show for 16-year-olds.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Whenever my life gets me so down, I know I can go down, 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 where the foot never ends. Song of the music. I can't even sing the words. But
I have a question.
I remember it. But they were all like hip hop dancers and all sexy. All the guys in the show were in Newsies, the movie. Yeah.
Got it.
So there's like 10 guys on the show, but they're all like really big, famous dancers.
Hi ho! Hi ho! Hi ho!
There are 7 very well-known dwarfs in our society. If you were the 8th dwarf, what would your name be?
Cocky.
Cocky.
That's a great good one. I approve.
And I'm going to keep it neutral. And so it's one of those that you can decide.
It's also gender neutral.
So I can still wear a dress. Awesome. Great, great, great.
I hear it as like cock your tub.
Huh?
What?
Cocky?
Uh-huh.
I think cock your
cock,
tub.
Cocky.
Cock your tub? I'm not
like
cocky.
A caucus.
Hey, get cocky! Get over here.
Cocky.
Give me that cock gun.
Cocky. Cocky.
Give me, I gotta cock your tub. That, like that?
You cocking to me?
You cock. You cock.
Yeah.
I'm done here.
You look like you're about to break into like
a sweat?
Well, it got hot again,
really,
and Kevin
hot.
Took out his air conditioners. So he put one back in, bless his heart.
Well, because I can't sleep. I didn't sleep at all last night.
It's the worst.
Zero.
Didn't get to sleep at all.
Do you further... do you further notes on your...
Further notes?
...phone? I feel like we had something else.
No, I'm not married.
Great.
Where do we find you?
On Instagram at Kevin Thomas G. It's not that thotty anymore. It used to be a little sluttier, but you know, now it's just the normal photographer's Instagram. But it's really funny. Like, you put up those photos and you know exactly what this country likes or what people like.
If somebody wanted...
They're like boys in underwear where you can see shit.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to book you for a shoot...
Through my website, ktgnyc.com.
If somebody wanted to commission you to make them a Halloween wig.
About $1,000.
Great.
Deposit. It's just the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. It depends. I'm doing a couple for Bette's Halloween.
Are you really?
I am.
Whose?
I can't say.
But they're people that I would know.
I had decided non-disclosure.
I'm
totally
working. No, wait, what?
I'm doing a couple friends. That's it.
Okay.
I wish I was doing like Bette's or something.
Funk. Okay, the Hello Dolly cast people?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But Bette, I have to say, when she dressed up as Winifred last year at her Halloween party, the wig drove me crazy because it was like weird plastic.
Yeah.
I was like, no, baby. You know there's plenty of... You know there's at least
Stop
1,000 homos.
I'm so hot right now and I'm wearing a fucking pilgrim outfit.
Take it off.
It's like wooden.
This whole recording, it's just going to be rustling.
I don't care.
With
well,
every
it's
third
it's
word.
A dress. It's like a shower curtain.
It is. It's like, you know.
I'm so hot.
It's not exactly cotton.
Do you know that Deborah Messing's allergic to cotton?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a fake allergy. It's why when people say, I'm gluten-free versus I'm celiac. Like, if you say celiac at a restaurant,
they're
like...
Celiac Kenan Bolger?
But at least
look,
like,
I made a theater joke.
That was pretty good.
Oh, throw yourself down a flight of stairs.
I don't have stairs in here.
I'll find some. Subway stairs.
What's your sub?
Huh?
When you go to Subway? What's your sub?
Meatball, provolone, mayonnaise. Which I just read something I wasn't supposed to eat, the meatball subs.
I posted that article on Dana's wall.
Fucking asshole, Steven.
No, I'm never gonna have a fucking meatball sandwich. Well, October is Dana's favorite month because it's Anytober.
It's Anytober. It doesn't make any sense.
Huh?
Anytober $5 foot long. Anytober five. That's the commercial. When I first heard it, like, 7 years ago, lost my shit. Anytober?
Is that a thing?
Anytober.
Anyvember.
It's not a thing. I've lost so much weight sitting here.
Great.
You need me to break you out of that.
Yeah. She's going
to
need
a
hand.
Quick change.
Quick change?
Yeah.
Do we pause?
Well, I think we're done here.
Are we done?
We might be wrapped unless you have something else that you want to get off your chest.
Yeah.
What do we want to do? We want to go deep?
How deep?
I don't know.
Make me cry.
We can.
Put another wig on.
Yes.
It's my favorite one because it's so stupid.
It's Toni Collette and Mob Party.
It's so little.
If you could style a wig for anybody, who would it be? And if you could take anybody's headshot, who would it be?
Headshot? Any sexy boys. Like, duh. And a wig? I would love to be like the Harry Potter movies.
Mm.
Or like the Beast, the Fantastic Beast. Like, I'm just not
you
like
fantasy. Yeah, like not.
Yeah.
You don't want to be styling a ponytail every night.
No, and that's what film and TV becomes. As far as like contemporary shows. It's really boring. We call them.
But you would love to do like a Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, that'd be better. I mean, but like otherwise TV is like you're doing like $1,000 buns.
Sure.
Literally.
Does Deborah Messing wear a wig?
I don't know.
Can you tell who's wearing a wig on TV? Everyone
sometimes.
In theater does.
HD. I mean, you can
sometimes.
Go back and watch older shit and see.
It's generally harder because they're going to be on film lays. So anything you see on TV is going to be a very expensive wig. Made specifically for that actor's head. So like I cannot confirm this for sure because I obviously don't work there, but like SNL, all the cast members, every single cast member of the show has a wig of their natural hair.
For, yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, because if you think about it, they're in and out of wig changes.
Sometimes
and ball
they
caps.
Get
yeah.
doused with water or...
Yeah, so then instead of like having to get their hair redone... between takes and everything, they literally can put on their own hair.
Wow. Yeah. You just blew my mind with that.
But it's genius, too, because they can do everything quicker.
Yeah.
You know?
God.
And there's, like, a wig stock of every single wig that every single cast member's ever worn.
Jesus.
When they get the new orders for... this is, like, stories from other friends. Like, when they get the orders for the new wigs on Wednesday... So everything gets written on Monday, Tuesday, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So they're off Sunday. Everyone writes shit Monday, Tuesday, decide what's going on Wednesday. So that's like for our department, the wigs. Not that I don't work there, but...
wigs would show up Wednesday.
Wigs would start
the
being
order.
Made on Wednesday. So usually one person would build the front, one person would build the back, one person would build like the middle, and then they sew them all together. So you're making
wow.
a wig that normally would take 50 hours in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have people working around the clock. You do all that, too.
Wow. Yeah. I would think that their stock of wigs is limitless.
Tons. Like,
so, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
how many new ones are they really making?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many they refront. Because I know that they don't... They keep...
Refront.
Well, they'll cut off the front and redo the front. Just the front. But they're, like, no matter what character you're doing, you end up putting that in stock. Because you, like, if you ever revisit that.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Continuity.
Yeah, and every cast member has their own hairstylist. It's very specific.
It's not Hi-ho the glamorous.
I think SNL would be a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah.
Because you get the live theater aspect and you get the film and tea aspect. And you get the paycheck. We love 401k and benefits.
Someone's got to pay for those cinnamon rolls.
Yeah. And someone's got to turn that air conditioning on.
Yeah. Are we good here?
I think so.
They know where to find you.
Bam. Should I talk a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Dana spoke more than she usually does, too. She really likes you.
My brain is fried. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us in your room.
Thanks, guys.
We're literally on your bed in your room.
Yeah.
So thank you.
We're all sweating, too.
Melting. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Cunt.
Are you a double cunt?
Double cunt.
The podcast is produced by Dana Craig and Stephen Farazee. We want to thank Jesse Wiener for the original music and Joel Wagoner for creating our incredibly stupid theme song.
The sexy yet tasteful photo shoot was hosted by our dear friend Kevin Thomas Garcia. We want to know who you are. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at In The Room Pod. Like us on Facebook, In The Room with Stephen and Dana. If you'd like to be featured on the podcast or have thoughts, feelings, impressions, and or concerns, email us at intheroompod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate and review, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
And remember to always podcast like no one is listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.